Throughout the Old Testament, there are a number of scriptures that tell us where God had promised the people of Israel that at some point in time, he was going to establish a kingdom on this earth. He promised the people of Israel. God also said in his promises that the one who would sit on that throne would be a descendant of David, that he would come down through the line of David. Well, God's people, these Israelites, these Jews, they knew God's word. They understood the Old Testament prophecies. And they knew that at some point in time, God was going to establish this kingdom. They knew this. They just didn't know when. But they knew it was going to happen. Well, Jesus came on the scene when he was 30 years old. And when he came on, he began his ministry. And it was apparent, it was proven that he came from the line of David. And the primary message, the main central theme for his message was that the kingdom of God was here. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1 verse 14, after John was put in prison, it said Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He said, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. He said, repent and believe the good news. He went on to say in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming, he said, the good news of the kingdom of God. And he said, and the 12 were with him. In Luke 4, 43. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns, he said, because that's why I was sent. He said in Luke 16, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. And since that time, he said, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone is forcing his way into it. You see, Jesus came out preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, brother. It's at hand and it's here. And if you want some of it, you can just reach out and get you some because it's available to everybody. Jews, Gentiles, sinners, it didn't matter who it was, it's available to all. The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. Praise God. Man, I tell you what, this excited a lot of the Jews. A lot of them didn't believe it. A lot of them didn't want to get into it. But it excited a lot of these Jews who heard these teachings because, you see, they believed that once this kingdom was established, that power would be restored back to the Jews. They believed that once this kingdom came into play, once it was really established, they believed that the Roman oppression would stop. There would be no more oppression on the Jewish people. They believed that once this took place, the laws that governed the Jews would disappear. They believed once this kingdom was established, there would be no more answering to Rome for what the Jewish people did. There would be no more paying tribute to Caesar, only to God. Only to God. So, man, they were looking forward to this kingdom that was coming. Well, Jesus preached this for 3 years. And while he was preaching this, he validated the fact that he could be trusted by doing something that no one had ever done. Man, he started performing miracles that was rocking people's world. You see, magicians and sorcerers and all of these other people out there, they could do all kinds of magic tricks. They could do all kinds of illusions and things like that, but nobody could heal, man. Nobody could spit on the ground and make mud and put it on a blind man's eyes and him see. No one could do that. No one could walk up to the demon possessed and cast them out and cast them into a herd of swine. Nobody could do that. Nobody could walk on water. Nobody could take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men and all of their families. Nobody could do that. And the people saw this. They understood this. It was rocking their world, man. And then whenever he goes to Lazarus' tomb and he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, these people flip out. Lazarus, come forth, he said. And he comes walking out, the word of God said, in his grave clothes. Miracles. Jesus was validating his deity. He was validating that what I'm telling you is the truth. He was validating that you can trust me. You can trust what I'm teaching. The widow from Nain, her and her son had died. He's in a coffin. They're taking him out to the cemetery. Jesus had so much compassion that he walks over to the casket, touches the casket, and the boy raises up, and Jesus gives the son back to the mother. Don't you think that rocked their world? Jesus. Man, he come preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. If you want some of it, it's here for you. He validated everything that he said through the miracles that he was teaching and preaching and giving and doing. All of these things Jesus did in a way that just rocked people's world. Well, after 3 years of being in this ministry, it was time for Jesus to bring fulfillment to everything. A little over 3 years had passed, and his ministry was done. He had done all that he could do. You see, y'all look up here. Jesus has done all he can do. He has went to that cross and died. He's let them nail nails into his hands, into his feet. He's given you his word. He's preached to you. He's told you what's right. He's told you what's wrong. He's done all he can do. The rest is up to you. The rest is up to you. The rest is up to me. Well, he had done all that he could do. So he was headed to Jerusalem now to finish up this ministry, to go to the cross. He was headed into Jerusalem to finalize everything, the mission for which he had come. The Word of God . You know, I'm going to tell you something else before I even go there. These teachings that Jesus did, they caused a stir in the people. Many of the people received them and accepted them and were changed, just like today. They received what Jesus had to say. They accepted it from the soles of their feet to the crown of their head. And he changed their life because of what they chose to believe. He caused a great stir in the lives of the people there that listened. But Jesus always has caused a stir, hasn't he? I mean, Jesus' teachings aren't worldly. We don't understand a lot of Jesus' teachings. You see, the world will tell us, man, you do whatever you got to do to get ahead, and it doesn't matter whose neck you step on. You see, that's what the world will teach you. But Jesus says, man, don't you do anything that'll cause your brother to stumble. The world will tell you, if someone hits you, what'd your daddy tell you, guys? Come on. You better hit them back or I'm going to whoop you. Y'all's laughing. You must have had my daddy. That's what my daddy used to say. He'd say, if he hits you and you don't hit him back, you're going to deal with me. You see, that's what the world will teach you. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, if he hits you, you turn your cheek. Causing quite a stir. The world says if somebody sues you, man, you better go get yourself a good lawyer. Jesus said if you want your cloak, give him your tunic to go along with it. People didn't understand all of the things that Jesus taught. The world will say to you today, you got an enemy, you cut him off at his knees. Jesus said, love him. Jesus said, you have an enemy, you love your enemy. You know what the world says when he sees a hungry man standing on the side of the road with a sign that says, we'll work for food? If he's really hungry, the world says, get a job. Jesus said, take your last dime and feed the man. I got tested the other day. I went to the car wash, and I pulled into the car wash, and I'm human. And I mess up. And I pulled into the car wash, and there's a guy standing over at the car wash going through the trash cans. And it's obvious that this guy that's going through the trash cans is going to hit me up for some money. Y'all know the feeling. Y'all see it. So I pulled into the car wash, and Mary was with me, and we're going to clean up the car. And I looked at Mary, and I said, I don't want to deal with that. Not today. I said, I ain't dealing with that. I left the car wash. I left the car wash. I said, there's another one down by Walmart. I'll just go to that one. Because he can't be down there. Question. Y'all be honest. Have you ever done that? I said, oh, I got hands up. I left the car wash. Jesus said, if he's hungry, feed him. I left the car wash. And I'm cruising down the highway, and I told Mary, she said, well, where are we going? I said, we're going to go down to one here by Walmart, because I ain't going to have to deal with that. So we took off and headed down toward Walmart, and I got down there by the First National Bank, and the Holy Spirit went. I turned into the First National Bank. Mary said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going back to the car wash. She said, why? I said, because I got to feed that guy. I got to feed him. I go back to the car wash, and there he is. And I just proudly pull myself up there and start washing the car, and he didn't come over. I thought, he'll get me when I get to the vacuum. Ain't no water spraying over there. So I pull on up to the vacuum. He looks over there and sees me and walked away. I was being tested. God was checking my heart. God was seeing if I would do what the world said or if I would do what he said. I did what the world said until the Holy Spirit said, you know better than that. You know better than that. God will, I had to tell you that because I want you to know that God will test you. God will put people in your path that don't want anything to see how you're going to react to it. You can either pull in and wash the car, or you can head down to the other car wash. But in the mix of it all, I promise you, God will test you. Somewhere in there, God's going to test you. Well, getting back to this. After this 3 years was up, Jesus was done with his ministry. He couldn't do any more. The teachings were all done. The love your enemy part, the don't leave the car wash stuff, all of that stuff was done. Jesus couldn't teach us anymore. Everything was finished. Jesus set out toward Jerusalem, because that's where he had to fulfill his mission. And the Word of God takes us, and you can find this in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a few similarities are in there that change, but all in all, the same message runs through all four Gospels. And I'm going to talk with you this morning with the book of Luke, chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. And I just want to share briefly with you a couple things and regarding this message. This is Palm Sunday, and this is the day that, back in history, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus finished up his ministry. He hit the top of the hill, the Mount of Olives, and he's getting ready to head down into Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go in. 8 days from today, 8 days from today is when Jesus will complete everything and come out of that tomb. But today, Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem. And it says to us in verse 28, it says, after he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, this is a couple little towns about 2 miles out of Jerusalem, he said, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. I ask myself, why? Jesus has walked all the way from Galilee. He's 2 miles out of Jerusalem now. Why does he need a colt? Well, there was a prophecy that was set down about 500 years before this day took place. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the word of God says to us, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus needed to affirm his messianic royalty. So Jesus sends two disciples ahead to pick up a colt, to bring it to him so that he could ride this colt the last 2 miles into Jerusalem. Now, he goes on to say there in verse 32 that those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Over in Mark chapter 11, verse 3, it says, the Lord needs it and he will send it back shortly, is what Mark says there. It's important that you understand something about this colt. The people of Jerusalem, the Jews, they were looking for Jesus to be this king. They wanted to crown him. You see, they saw the miracles. They saw the things that he was able to do. They knew his capabilities. Anybody that can raise the dead and bring them back to life, let me tell you something, guys, you got some connections. And they understood that. They knew that. They wanted to crown him king because they knew that he would have the power to restore Israel back to the Jews. Well, anybody that was coming in as a conquering king, they would have come into Jerusalem on a stallion or riding in a chariot. Jesus came in on this colt because it represented peace and gentleness. And this is the message that he was trying to send out to the people. I'm not coming as a warrior king. I'm not coming to destroy the Roman government. I'm coming gentle. I'm coming peaceable. I'm coming the same way that I lived my life with you. He rode in on that colt, and the word of God says, it says here in verse 35, they brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloak on the colt, and they put it on Jesus. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. He goes on to say there, that when he came, let me back up. They spread their cloaks on the road. There are different passages of scripture there that says that some of them even went and cut branches and put them on the road. This is a sign of royalty. This is an acknowledgement that a king is entering into town. This was the way that they would acknowledge his deity. They would lay their cloaks down on the road so that he could literally ride on top of the cloaks and on top of the palm branches. It was a matter of royalty being displayed here. And it says, and when the crowd, or when he came to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. The praising that they said was, look at this. It said, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king. They were ready to crown him as their king. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. If you look over into Matthew chapter 21, they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna means to save us. Jesus, save us. Hosanna, save us. He said in Mark chapter 11, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. You see, they were expecting this kingdom to come. In John chapter 12, he said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the King of Israel." All of this excitement, all of these things were happening as Jesus was coming down off this hill at this Mount of Olives. Now look in verse 39. It said, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You know, there's always going to be someone that doesn't want you to praise. There's always going to be someone who feels like they're offended at the way you praise Jesus. The Word of God says there that he said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, verse 40, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Let me tell you something. You cannot repress true praise for Jesus. If you look around this sanctuary on Sunday morning, when the band's playing and people are giving praise unto the Lord, man, there are people praising Jesus with their hands in the air. There are people praising Jesus on their knees. There are people that comes to these altars. There are people that's got tears running down their face. There are people that are literally standing there dancing before the Lord. You cannot repress true praise for Jesus. But let me tell you something. There's always going to be those who will try. There's going to be those who are going to go home and they're going to say, "Do you see that man standing over there crying? Do you see her shaking herself? Did you? It's a disgrace. I wish they'd put their hands down." There's always going to be somebody that don't want you praising Jesus. Do you know why they don't want you up there praising Jesus? Because they ain't praising Jesus. But let me tell you something. True praise for Jesus Christ cannot be repressed. You be driving down the road listening to one of them songs and tears will start rolling down your face because you can't repress real praise. You can't do it. You can't stop it. It's like turning on a faucet. It's going to come. But I promise you, there's always going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody that's going to speak up and say, "Did you see that? Just makes me sick. I'm so mad. I could just spit nails." Look up here. Don't you ever let anybody stop you from praising Jesus. If you feel like shaking your, then you shake your. And if you want to raise your hands, you raise your hands. If you want to cry, you cry. And if you want to get down on your face in the middle of that carpet and praise Him, you get down there and praise Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And true praise, it cannot be repressed. Verse 41 says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." I saw a visual there when I was doing this. I saw Jesus coming down off that hill on that donkey. And I saw all of these. You know, Josephus said there was probably somewhere close to 2 million people in Jerusalem at this time. They were there for a time of Passover and celebrating the escape from Egypt and all. And Josephus said there was somewhere between 1 and 2 million people in Jerusalem. I can't imagine how many thousands were out there praising Jesus, crying, "Hosanna," throwing cloaks on the ground and palm trees on the road so that he could ride over them. And then all of a sudden, with all of the praising and the shouting and the singing and everything going on, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, when he came over that little knoll, he wept over it. While everything is going on around him, Jesus stopped and tears began to fall down his face. He said, If you had only known on this day, he says, what would bring you peace? And he said, but now, he said, it is hidden from you. It's hidden from your eyes. The people failed to see the truth about Jesus. The people failed to understand Jesus. They failed to receive him. They failed to accept him. And because they failed to do all of these things, they had no peace. Let me ask you something. How's your peace? Truly. I want to ask you guys something. And this is very serious stuff. If you had to stand before the Lord today, and you knew that, if you truly knew that you pull out of this parking lot and you didn't make it home and you will stand before God and you will stand before him, do you have peace? True. Real, honest peace. Do you have that? Is there peace in your home? Do you have peace? Do you have peace in your relationship with others? Do you have peace? You see, Jesus said in this passage of Scripture, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. And what he's saying there is that you can't find peace outside of him. There is no peace outside of Jesus. There's only the world. And the world will tell you to go step on somebody else's neck. There's no peace in that. The world will tell you to get a lawyer. There's no peace in that. Hughes and Coleman will tell you differently because they put that all over the TV. But there's no peace in that. The world will tell you to leave the car wash. There's no peace in that because when you get to First National Bank, he'll jerk you back around. I promise you. True peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. I'm going to finish this up. When Jesus went on down into that city, the Word of God says that he went to the temple. Now listen to me. And I can imagine the shouting, the screaming, the hosannas. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here comes our King. The excitement, the singing, the songs, everything, the palm branches, the cloaks on the ground, everything that was happening at that moment, the anticipation of what was getting ready to happen in Jerusalem must have been so great. It must have been so great that you could literally cut it with a knife. But when Jesus got to the temple, nothing happened. When Jesus got to the temple, listen to me, he didn't get off his colt and say, crown me king. When Jesus got to the temple, he didn't call down a legion of angels to begin to take back Rome. Nothing happened. When Jesus got to the temple and got off that colt, thunder didn't break, lightning didn't flash, a voice of God did not speak from heaven. Nothing happened. And so the people started to become disillusioned. They began to start losing hope in what they thought was the truth, in what they felt Jesus was going to do for them. They began to lose all of this hope. They began to turn to despair. All of their praise became finger pointing. The glory became whispers and gossip. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. There was no kingdom established at that point. No physical kingdom. There were no soldiers. Nothing happened. And all of the hosannas turned into who are yous? Because nothing happened. People started to leave, and the crowd started to crumble. Hope disappeared, and disappointment began to set in. I need to ask you something. It all happened because Jesus did not do what they expected. Listen to me. How many times in your life has Jesus not done what you expected? Come on. How many times did you pray for somebody to get well and they didn't get well? How many times? How many times did you say, God, I just need you to fix this, and he didn't fix it? How many times have you fallen on your face before God and wept your heart out with everything that you have and said, God, just deliver me, and you're still not delivered? How many times in your life has Jesus not done what you expected? Where did it leave you? Did it leave you praising him? Or did you begin to lose hope? Did you continue to fall on your face? Or did you say, what's the use? How many times has Jesus not done what you expected? And in the mix of it all, you lost your peace. Jesus said, if only you had known on this day what would give you peace. If only you had known. Peace comes through Jesus. It doesn't come through your way. It comes through God's way. It doesn't come through the world stepping on people's neck. It comes on through God's way. And when we yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the plan that he has for your life, he said you will find peace. I want to ask you to do something. Stand up. If you're able. If you're not able, just stay right where you are. But if you're able, just stand up for a moment. Everybody shake it off. Just look up here for a moment. I want to ask you something. Right now, close your eyes. Everybody, just close your eyes. Right where you are, just close your eyes. Right now, has something happened between you and Jesus that has left you disillusioned? Have you asked him for something that he didn't fulfill? Have you wanted him to do something for you that he didn't do? How is your peace right now? Guys, Jake's going to sing a song. And I'm going to say this to you. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you have no peace. You guys, open your eyes and look up here. You have a big hole right here. And every morning you get up and you try to fill it with something that the world has to offer, and you're miserable in your soul. There's no peace. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but maybe you're like that prodigal son out there in Luke 15, and you're out there doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, and you've got that big hole right here. And there's no peace. Maybe there's something going on in your life, and there's no peace. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage or your children, and there's no peace. Jesus says, you come to me, you bring it to me. And he says, I may not do it your way, but I will give you peace. I say to you this morning, do you need that? These altars are for everyone. Doesn't matter if you've been here 100 years or if you're first time ever here. If you need to talk to Jesus this morning about something that's going on in your life, don't stand there and hold on to the back of that chair. That chair will not hold you up after you get through those doors. And you're going to be out there all by yourself again. Let go of that chair. Bring yourself to an altar of God. Bend a knee before the Creator of the universe and say, God, I just need peace. Pray with me. Father, Lord, I don't know what's going on in the lives of the people. I don't know why you gave me the message that you gave me, but Lord, you did, and I've done all I can do to preach it. So may the Spirit of God have His way. Speak to the hearts of your people in Jesus' name.